Well, I have a question for you to start us out. Have you ever had a time where in a moment of deep reflection, you were asking God if he made you right? Have you ever had a moment where you were talking to God and you wanted to know, when he was designing you, did he make a mistake? I was on a long trail run many, many years ago, and I remember I was having a conversation with God like that. I was wrestling with how he had made me. My boys were quite young. I was off the Sunshine Coast, probably on Pender Island, and I remember as I huffed and puffed my way up a big hill, I was saying to God, "This, Lord, this is what you came up with?" No doubt, I was probably wrestling with some gifts that I saw in somebody else. Anybody else guilty of that sort of thing? Seeing the gifts in somebody else and feeling aware that you don't have them? And I was asking God to show up in his creation, his beautiful creation, and speak to my heart about what it was he had planned in me. The fact is, we are all so different. We come at life, at relationships, at our jobs, at our tasks, at our roles differently. We are uniquely designed. We aren't identical. And that's especially important that I can say that because I'm an identical twin. I have a picture of my twin sister and I a couple years ago. We see each other about once a year, not often enough. Because we started in the world as one single cell that developed into two separate human beings, it means that we often refer to each other as being like a coin, two sides of the same coin. And that means that we can also have someone to blame the rest of our lives when we see a gift in them happen so naturally, and we would say something like, "Hey, when God made you, you took all of that in the womb. There was none of that left for me." And I'm often doing it with my sister, Quilin. I call her Qui. I often do it with Qui when I see her as a corporate exec running huge projects and all the organization and details that she does with ease. And she does it with me when she sees me doing something like I'm doing right now. Talking to you and feeling thrilled about it, because that's not exactly her idea of a good time. We're all created so uniquely. And we're talking today about the unique gifts that God gives each one of us. And we're going to be looking and continuing to walk through the book of Ephesians. And today, as we talked about earlier, is also Pentecost Sunday. So what a special day for us to be looking at how the Spirit empowers God's people with special gifts. Well, let's look together at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 16. "However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people." Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended high and then all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." this sounds a bit like a different kind of math than the math I was talking about with my twin sister and I. You see, in her, when I see a gift in her, it's as though it's subtraction. It was taken away from me. And vice versa. Instead, in this passage, it seems a bit more like multiplication or addition, that the gifts in one create the gifts that we all get to share in. The Apostle Paul is teaching the church of Ephesus then and each of us today that the Lord is generous in giving a good gift to each of his people. Now, maybe you hear a text like that and you think to yourselves, what's my gift? Or maybe you think to yourselves, I don't have that gift. But I want you to hear that regardless of what your thoughts are, the gifts in this passage are not the tasks and the roles. The gifts are the people. And as we give back our gifts to the Lord and ask him to use them for his glory, we become the gift that Christ gives the church. Let me say that again. We become the gift that Christ gives the church. I remember joking with one of our other pastors on staff here when I first moved back to Vancouver about 3 years ago, and I was asking him, when was a time when you were a kid or your younger years when you realized that you might have a gift, something a little bit different in your personality, your strengths, than your friends or your family? And I shared with him what came to my mind about myself. But maybe I'll first ask all of you, when was a time in your childhood or your younger years where you noticed that you came at something a little bit differently? I'm going to call it your secret sauce. Something that you came and you realized, oh, that's uniquely wired in me. I'll tell you mine. I was a young girl, really quite young, and I was shopping with my grandmother at a neighborhood mall in the area where I grew up. And we had been shopping for a while, and I realized that I was really getting kind of hungry. And we were walking along near a food court, and I couldn't help but notice that there was a man and a woman eating a huge pile of French fries in part of the food court. And do you know what came to my young mind? I remember that this was the first time I was cognizant of the fact that, you know, I think if I had a chance to make that couple smile and I got their attention, I think if I talked to them for a little while, I think I could get them to give me some of their French fries. It was like a gift was born in me. And it wasn't until many years later that I took the StrengthFinders assessment and I read that there's actually a name for that gift. It's called WOO, W-O-O, winning others over. People who score high in that gift tend to influence or make something happen, oftentimes with enthusiasm and a bit of a winsome air, to take charge and be able to make something happen. But is that what we're talking about when we're talking about these spiritual gifts in Ephesians chapter 4? Are we talking about filling our bellies and getting what we want, using our gifts to our own end? I don't think so. If we look back to the scripture that we were just reading in chapter 4, verse 7 through 16, we read about a generous Lord who gives a unique gift to each person in such a way that included going to hell and back, the lowly parts of the world, and then exalted in victory. And he did it because he wanted people drawn to the Father's love, and he wants more and more of himself glorified in such a way that draws all people together in unity and maturity. And did you hear how those gifts are meant to actually encourage people to grow in health and in love? That sounds a little bit different than just a means to an end. You see, when we use our spiritual gifts among the whole body, you know what happens? Our gift becomes our gift, and we share in it, and we're built up. Something different is happening. That's different than just a bunch of fries. I want to suggest that there's two things that happen when we use our unique gift and we become the gift that Jesus wants to give. First of all, we are uniquely gifted to reflect the Father's love. We all become one who is uniquely gifted to do this. Two, our gift grows in maturity and unity that dynamically fits us together. Wow. Now, people who know me know how passionate I am about fitting together with our gifts. I was just leading a workshop for our 10th kids children's pastor and 10th children's staff for all five of our sites this week. And they know that I call myself a detective on strengths. I just love seeing how one person has this gift and they bring that to the pile and one person brings this. And then together we build a team and we figure out how in the world we can use those gifts in a way that works together. It's why I was recently trained as a life coach, because I just say I love fanning the flame of the gifts that God puts in people. It makes me feel like I'm awake to what God's doing among us, and I get to celebrate it. And God has given us these gifts so that we can serve and love one another better and serve and love Him better. But maybe when you look at a passage like this, you read words like apostle and prophet, an evangelist, and you think, that doesn't really have to do with my everyday life, Ash. I'm not really feeling connected with that. And I want to say that this is not an exhaustive list of God's good gifts. We read throughout Scripture places where we see such dynamic lists of gifts that God's using and raising up among His people. But even if we just considered these five gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, we still need those gifts among us too. We need people who act like catalysts, who are able to do new movements and new works, bringing Christ to parts of the world. Do you know people like that? Like apostles? Catalysts, making things happen. And we need people who, like prophets, are spending time, not, it doesn't have to be big, dramatic ways, but people who are attentive to what the Spirit is doing in such a way that when they speak, it changes our direction. It points us to what God's up to. We want to be a part of it when people use that gift. And we need people who are like evangelists, not because they're alienating people outside the faith. No, with kindness and hospitality, their eyes aren't just for those who are in this room with us right now. They're thinking about those who aren't there yet, and they want those people to be enlivened by the Spirit, and so they're thinking about where the church is not yet. We need people with those gifts too. And we need people with the gift of pastoring, not necessarily because it's somebody who's always on a stage like I am right now, but people who have that good shepherd love, who want to nurture people in faith. It may be in other roles, other jobs, other friendships, but like John chapter 10, they are attentive to the fact that the enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, and they know it matters to keep one another safe and nurtured in their faith. We need people like that. And lastly, we need people who are teachers, women and men who open up God's word in such a way that is compelling. Like we're tasting some of our daily bread, and we didn't know we were hungry for it until they taught us well. It illuminates our lives. It reorients our thoughts and our attitudes, and we become a people who are feeding on God's word. Wow, we need teachers like that among us. I can joyfully say we have people like that among us here at 10th, at all of our sites. And it's not just a choice few, and then the rest of us just go, well, I guess God gave them all those gifts. No, it's all of us uniquely gifted to fit together and to do and share and serve in the way God's asked us to. And I was praying over this. I was preparing what it was that the Lord had for me to speak. And I don't know if you guys know, but all of us who preach and share the word with you, we do something we call the feed forward. And as a preaching team, Ken included, we all come together a couple weeks ahead of time and we just share what God's moving in us to talk about. And I was sharing about what I was going to speak on today, and Jade, Pastor Jade said to me, you know, Ash, you could just talk about how much you remind us that we're all wired and gifted differently. He said that you're always reminding us that even in our meetings or our things we're doing at 10th, that we're coming at it with different gifts, and it helps us to get the job done. And I told Jade, I'm going to make you get up on the stage every time I speak today and say that. But I think it's okay for me to say that myself, because I'm not talking about me there. I'm talking about you. I see the gifts in others around me. And I don't have it happen just when things are going well. Sometimes it happens when you're trying to find a solution for a problem and people are bumping heads and coming at it differently. I joke that it's like I can see a cape blowing behind them, like the superpowers that God's given them. That was my motion for cape. Because even in our conflicts or when we're struggling to come to a solution, I can see, oh, you're using this gift. God's wired you to ask that question. Oh, and you're bumping up heads against them because you're using this gift. What a blessing that we come with this diverse set of gifts. And in time, as we surrender that to the Lord, we can move from disunity to unity, from immaturity to maturity. And God takes these raw forms of gifts that we could get into trouble with without his help. And he forms them and transforms them. And we can see God do his work among us. It's a sight to see. You know, it's why I often will say to some of our CREO youth leaders, I've said it to them a handful of times, that it really matters that they show up week in and week out at all of our sites for our youth. Because they bring a different set of gifts to let those students know that they matter. And I'll say to them, you don't know what it's like to be in a room that you are not in. Let me say that again to all of you, because our gifts are different. We bring something different into the room. Friends, you don't know what it's like to be in a room that you're not in. Your gifts matter. We miss it when it's not there. God wants to use those gifts. And he takes it and he forms it and he has this way of helping it be a part of something big and grand he's doing in the whole world. I love the way Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 in the Message says it. It sounds kind of cosmic. This is what Christ does. So spacious is he, so expansive that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies. Beautiful. As I was praying over this, I was thinking about the ways I see this happening among us and our worship together, and I started making lists of the gifts I see in you. I started making lists of the gifts that I see alive in God's people, and it was a long list. I can't read it all to you. I'd suggest you do that exercise. Spend some time thinking about the gifts you see in other people. I will share a few of them. Maybe I'm describing somebody who's sitting next to you. Maybe I'm describing somebody that you know. You see, there's this woman here at 10th who is gifted with a prophetic voice. And when the Lord speaks to her heart, she shares it boldly with those alongside her. But first, she spends time just marinating in it, testing what she's heard, making sure that it's not just her words alone. But once she does, once she shares it, oh man, it's like it changes the chemistry in the room. Have you been with someone like that? It's like the Lord is able to penetrate our hearts because she has prayed over what God has been speaking to her about. And we don't know how she does it. But a bit of the kingdom breaks through when she does, and before we know it, we are better fit together when she shares her gift. Or let me tell you about a man that many of you know. With a sparkle in his eye, he brings the gift of peacemaking. And when he laughs, it's like it can calm a storm. It's as if Jesus is present with us, the one who says, "Peace, be still." It's like it calms the storms when he serves God's people. We don't know how he does it, but a bit of the kingdom breaks through when he does, and before we know it, we are better fit together because he shared his gift. Another man brings the gift of discernment and wisdom in the room. Do you know anybody like that? It's kind of a quiet gift. All around him, there are those who are trying to come up with solutions to problems. We're all trying to figure out what our next steps are, but you know what I notice? When this man speaks with clarity of mind and courage of heart, his sisters and his brothers in Christ, they lean in and they listen. His gift matters. I don't know how he does it, but when he does, it's like a bit of the kingdom breaks in. And before we know it, we are better fit together because he shares his gift. Are you getting the pattern? It's beautiful, right? This one's gonna make me cry. There's this woman at one of our tent sites. It's like she's just naturally crafted to be a counselor and a shepherd. She binds the wounds of those who've suffered through the night. She's gifted to comfort and console and strengthen. Her instructions are like a balm. We don't know how she does it. But when she does, the kingdom breaks through and we get better fit together because she uses her gift. And boy, I'm glad she does. Okay, indulge me. Two more. There's this man at one of our sites, and it's like he just brings air into the room. I'd say the breath of God, the spaciousness just breaks into the circles and the friendships he's in. And the work of his life, his hands and his heart bring healing. We don't know how he does it, but when he does, the kingdom breaks through and we are better fit together as he shares his gift. Last one. Maybe you know somebody like this. If she says it's time, let's do it now, people just jump up and they move. She's bold, she is visceral with joy and laughter, she wins our hearts. But hear this, she is also willing to walk through waters. She loves God with everything she's got. The Spirit moves through her in a way that moves mountains and people. We don't know how she does it. But when she does, a bit of the kingdom breaks through. She uses her gift. Isn't that breathtaking? I'll stop there. When we use our gifts that God is forming in us, over time it changes us, friends. From the inside out, it changes us. We are more alive in Christ. We become more like him. Wouldn't it be a shame if any of those people I just described used up any of their time trying to use someone else's gift? That'd be a loss to our community, wouldn't it? Yeah. But when they surrender the gift that God is forming in them and allow God to use it in big and very small ways, the kingdom breaks through. We are built up, equipped. It's that different math I talked about. Rather than subtraction, it's multiplication. And maybe this is a really important time for me to tell you that a lot of God's most precious gifts he gives to the church are anointed in our lives as we are not just walking through roses and rainbows. Sometimes some of God's most beautiful gifts are given to his people as we walk through hard-won battles, as we experience loss and longings. And sometimes, I believe, in our most vulnerable seasons, it's like the cracks in our lives are giving way to the beautiful light God is forming in us. It's beautiful. And sometimes we need to do the bold act of receiving those gifts before we're tasked to extend them outwards. That's a vulnerable thing, receiving those gifts. My mom got cancer when I was just 9 years old. I remember the day that I walked in the hallways of my elementary school, and I felt like all the adults in the room were just staring at me. I wanted to be a little bit more invisible than that. And my mom was a single mom, so I'm sure they were just concerned if I was going to be all right. And I joke sometimes that I was 9 years old when it happened, and interestingly enough, I was memorizing how to multiply sets of nines in my math class. So I joke today that even though I'm pretty naturally good at math, I still kind of fumble on memorizing or multiplying some sets of nine today. But my mom says that it was during this part of her cancer journey that she believes she was gifted the gift of encouragement. She just had to receive it first. She says that every day through the battle with her cancer treatments, she felt like God's word just came alive to her, like it was manna, like it was daily bread. I talked to her just a few days ago, and she said that during that season, it was like the father who loved her the most was writing her notes that had fresh ink on it, and it was slid under her bedroom door before she prayed. Isn't that beautiful? And she says that as people reached out to her, she had encouragement gifted to her from the most unexpected people, unexpected places, and it seemed to awaken in her this awareness that God could give her a new compassion and gift to encourage other people as well after she walked this journey with cancer. You know, Kate Bowler is an incredible author, podcaster, speaker. Many of you no doubt are familiar with her. She does incredible work. She was initially a tenured professor in the academic world, teaching on her research on the prosperity gospel. And then one day, as a young mom in the prime of her career, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And her whole life was turned upside down. And she has this gift today that is so poignant. You see, it's like she's walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and she's able to speak about those places where joy and sorrow come together. And she earns the trust of her listeners in a way that few others can. And I was listening to her podcast, Everything Happens, just a little while ago, and she was interviewing two mental health professionals who had walked with some grieving men in their loss. There were 7 fathers whose spouses all passed away in the same tragedy. And these two mental health professionals, Justin Yop and Dan Rosenstein, wanted to be able to give these men a grief circle that they could go and be able to receive some healing. But they realized that even though thousands of people lose their spouse every year, that there were no circles they could invite them into that were for men. What a gap in our grief care. And so these two psychologists began a movement called the Widowed Parent Project. And they began a circle for these 7 men in particular. And they gave them this safe space to not just receive platitudes, but to be honest about their grief and celebrate their successes and talk about things that only they understood and be able to even make tragic jokes about things that only they got. And she talks about how they were able to move from me to the magic of we. As they experienced a move to mutuality, the tables were turned. There were times they were receiving gifts, and there were times they were giving those gifts to one another. And they said they didn't just need experts, they needed one another. And we all do. And this reminds me of what we're talking about today, where we become people with gifts that we're able to extend to one another so that we're built up, understanding better the Father's love and able to reflect it back to one another in such a way that fits us together better as a result. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "And to all these qualities add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity." As we become the gift that God is creating us, and as we mirror his love, we're instructed to add to the qualities unity and love. What are these qualities? Paul is talking to this church of Colossae in this passage, and he's talking about garments, like new clothes. Some of you are familiar with that passage where we're told to be clothed in compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and forgiveness. And so I want to say to you, what does it look like for us to serve God with our gifts, unified in love? Well, let's make sure, whether it's up here in front or it's behind the scenes or it's serving coffee or it's serving our kids, whatever it is, let's make sure it is brilliantly beautiful, clothed in compassion and kindness and gentleness. That's what God's gifts look like on us, no matter what gifts they are, brilliantly shining with his love. Well, you remember I began talking with you about that trail run I was on years ago. And I was huffing and puffing my way up that steep hill, and I was watching as the breeze blew their way through the leaves and the trees, and I was wrestling with God, saying, "Did you make a mistake? Did you make me right?" I was thinking about the gifts that I saw in somebody else. And I was asking God to answer me and to speak through his creation. And I'll never forget it. As I ran up to the crest of the hill with a beautiful view, I felt like God just wanted me to stay in the woods. And I, right at that moment, heard this beautiful bird's call. I had never heard it before. And have you ever had a moment where you felt like God was speaking to you in a way that was just unique to you in God's creation? It was like that. And I just heard in my spirit God say, listen, I made you just right, Ash. You get to sing a different song. You don't have to use anybody else's gift. You get to be just the way I created you to be. And I'm not saying that it was easy, but I was wrestling and I heard and I was drawn to the one who had this deep love for me. And in that moment, I also was walking through the woods and I realized I was coming upon a young buck in the middle of the trees. We were just a few feet away. He looked at me. I looked at him. He looked at me. It was like this holy moment. And I can't help but think of that passage with Colossians, this idea of animals and atoms and all things, dislocated pieces being fit together. And in that moment, I remembered God can do anything. I'm just one part of these vibrant harmonies he's creating in his creation. And I don't have to use my gift. I get to figure out where my small gift fits in the big picture of what God is doing. Friends, we can become the gift that God so generously gives. And I want to encourage you to be a people who wrestles with God. Ask him, did you make me right? Ask God how he's designed you. Ask other people. Have them reflect back to you. What gifts do you see in me? And as we speak the truth in love, we can even talk about the places where we rumble, where those gifts are still being matured and unified, formed in his spirit. But we can pray today that we would be a people who are drawing other people to God's love, who are being dynamically fit together, so that as we mature and are unified, we become the gift that Christ so generously wants to give. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Your love that is beyond what we can fathom. But Lord, you task us, you gift us with the opportunity to draw people to that love. You use our humble strengths and also our weaknesses. And as we walk through even times of loss, Lord, would you open our eyes to the light that you want to shine through our life with humility and compassion and kindness, all bound in your love, we pray. Amen.